Blog Talk Radio.
Why do good girls like bad boys? In Good Girls, the NBC Sunday night television show, we see Beth, a housewife with three children and a husband, falling for a gangbanger, Rio. They could not be further apart in terms of style or background. Beth wears pearls. Rio has tattoos on his neck. But their chemistry scorches the screen. At one point, Beth's husband asks, "What is it about him? Is it the tattoos?" So why do good girls like bad boys? Hello, and welcome to The Download with CN Diva, where we talk about love, life, and take your calls at 760-890-7137. So let's get down to our very interesting conversation, Sia. We all know perfectly nice women who fall for bad boys. Why does this happen, do you think?
I think the intensity of the personality traits that are basically identified in that movie and basically identified in the bad boys, the narcissist, the psychopath, and the overly macho man. You know, when you're looking at a narcissist, they are likable people. They love to dominate the situation. They have grandiose conversations of what they're going to do, grandiose viewpoints. They're self-entitled. They're very competitive. And they like to push you away after they conquer you. So when someone pushes you away, the first instinct is, if they push, I pull back, right? The next thing is a person who's a psychopath, right? Very narcissistic. You know, they're just a person who has really, really great, great personality. They suck you in. They suck you right in. Their personality is basically perceived as confident, stubborn, you know, hypersexual, very, very intense. The macho man who controls everything, who has everything going on. You identify with the fact that, look at them, they're quite put together. Look at the people. Look at what they're doing. Look at how they can make that man jump. You find it enticing, you know, the insincerity. They're so insincere that you think it's sincere. They're very extroverted. They're very good at manipulating the situation. They're very opportunistic on who they pick to be their person or their partner, their mate. You know, all of these things bring in women into the dark side.
Do you think that these women are basically ignoring the little voice in their gut that says, hey, you know, this guy isn't so good for me. Why am I doing this?
Well, I think when women see these traits and they see glimpses of it, they may not be aware of what they're seeing right away. And then they change it to something positive. Wow, he's really confident. Look at how stubborn he is. That's really going to get him far. You know, the hypersexuality in all these three cases, very hypersexuality. Look at how intense their intimacy is. It sort of blinds them to the truth. They don't actually see the truth standing in front of them. They try to push it on as well. You know, he's a really good guy. It's just deep inside. He's got a really good heart. Everything he tells me, I understand that he may not be able to do, but he's really pushing for it, and he's really planned our lives, and he knows where he's going, and he's going to give me the direction. Women who associate the pain that the man causes with love, you know, women who are abused, women who are hurt when they're younger, they can't really identify why they're so sucked into this person, but what it is that it was when they were younger. Their mother, their person, whoever it was who hurt them, was supposed to be the person who loved them. So they associate pain with love. They associate the super high feeling of when they're intensely in love and everything's wonderful. They can push away that really low feeling, or they want it filled again when that person leaves, because that person had so much control, they don't know what to do without that person.
So it's almost like there's a type of woman who goes for the bad boys.
There is,
you know, someone who's
type.
Been abused or, sorry?
I think sometimes there's a type, or sometimes it just falls in place. Many of these men are opportunistic. They find you in a low in your life. They find women who are needy. Or they find women who I can't say are naive, or women who really feel that, or people who have similar characteristics. Women who are narcissists themselves sort of like that narcissistic behavior. You know, women who want to control sort of like to be controlled. You know, women who feel that the person they were with before was very boring in bed, and now they believe they're this great sexual person, and they find hypersexual behavior. So I think there's many different women that can fall into this area.
And how often do you encounter this dynamic when people are coming to you for advice?
I think it's always around certain aspects of this dynamic. You know, sometimes it's the woman who's displaying this. You know, I always try to bring about conversation and then try to pick the parts that are the truth. What's really going on? You know, I'm an intuitive reader. I do intuitive relationship counseling and advising. Whether it's using astrology, tarot, or just working with the person in front of me, their energy, whether they believe it or not, inner or outer, it starts to bring about conversations. What are they saying? He doesn't like me. He wants to leave me. But when we're together, it's so, so good. When we're together, everything's so great. You know, he's really sorry. He's, you know, let's suppose it's not physical abuse. It's emotional abuse. Is it on both sides at a certain point? Or is it really one person doing it to the other? I have to really, really listen to understand. Sometimes it's right in your face. Oh, my God, this man is calling her disgusting words, putting her down every second of the day, playing mind games. Other times it's finessed. It's finessed. You know, he's always in love with me. He's always good to me. He brings me home flowers. He brings me home roses. He makes dinner. You know, he draws the bath for me. But yet, when I listen really well, you know, he tells me that I should stay home, or he tells me that I'm better off doing what I'm doing now. I tried to go back to school, and everything just fell apart. There was a lot of hostility in the house, a lot of chaos. But who is the main chaos maker? Does he pick the right time to make your life hell and then cover it up with niceties?
It must be very interesting to kind of be getting this whole picture from one side of the story, because one person is coming and you're getting both sides of the picture here.
That's why I really listen well, because sometimes a woman displays herself as the victim and she's clearly not the victim. So when I really listen, it's the woman who wants the situation to happen. A lot of times the woman does dominate the household. Not every man is a horrible man, and they don't want to display every man as this narcissistic, psychopath, super macho male. Sometimes the woman doesn't realize everything that she's doing, or is so okay with her personality and her personality traits that she decides that it's always the other person's fault. And that's when I start listening to what's going on. You know, he came in, he was making dinner for me, I was tired after work, I told him to draw me up a bath, he drew me up a bath, and then later on I was talking to him how we need to buy a second home, and he just went ballistic all over me. When reality is, their finance, their situation, can't really cover this, and it's quite obvious to anybody who can add 1 + 1 = 2. So when the partner displays aggressive behavior, because at this point it's the breaking point, the last straw. And then I realize, oh, he's not abusive. He's just had enough. He didn't hit her. He didn't yell at her. He just told her no, no, no. And she didn't like the word no. That happens at time as well. Then I have to explain to her what's really going on. What is she hearing? What is she seeing? And what's actually happening? And we write it out and we talk about it. We pull cards on it. We figure out what's truly going on. And sometimes when the person can identify their behavior and the other person's behavior, it gives them more insight to make the relationship work. Or gives them more
insight to understand this way. Yeah, because, I mean, I was just going to ask you, if somebody were coming to you because they were in one of these bad relationships where they were in love with some bad boy, how would you get them out of it? How would you help them?
Well, the only way to help them is if they want help. Do they want to get out of the relationship? Sometimes they'll say yes, but all their actions are saying no. I'll be simply, do not return their calls, do not return their texts. Then they'll be like, well, he texted me at 11 o'clock at night asking me when I was home. I didn't want him to think I wasn't home, so I just texted him back and let him know I was home. Then he wanted to come over. I didn't want him to feel bad. but yet they're saying they're in this relationship. So then I understand there's a codependency. But also understand if you have the ability, if this person is not putting their hands on you, if this person puts their hands on you, my instinct is to get out, get out, get out. What are the 1-800 numbers? Where are the people who surround you that you can trust? How can we find a foundation for you to leave? But when it's a back and forth of conversation and when you have choice, when you have choice, sometimes there is no choice. Sometimes you're in this horrible, abusive situation. Other times, it's just an unhealthy situation, unhealthy, where you need to make better decisions for yourself and for the health of yourself and for the health of this relationship. Sometimes relationships are toxic, and you just need to end it, and you need to figure out how do you pull yourself out of the drama? Why do you seem to go back to this drama? And why, even though I give you as much inspiration, as much counseling, and much explanation, you still want to go back to this drama. So then we have to figure out, you're stuck in this drama, let's go heal the inner child or the inner you, the part that's broken, and then go back to try to release yourself from this situation.
Have you
There's
actually
no way to force
helped
it.
Anybody?
Of course.
Can you give us, we don't need the names of anything, but can you give us an example of somebody who's been in this situation and you help them get out of it?
And I had a woman who was in a...
Look at their issues.
I had a woman who was in a toxic relationship. I would say she was a bit... she was very nice. A bit narcissistic with a psychopath. So it was funny. So I listened to her side. I listened to what she was saying. I listened that, honestly, she wanted to get out of it, but she didn't at the same time. So then I had a... review what was going on that I would consider abusive or unhealthy, figure out which side it was on, his or hers, explain it to her. Then we try to figure out a way to release her from this situation. She couldn't walk away. So then I had to find out where inside was the pain. So we wrote down different experiences in her life. We reviewed her past relationships, and then we found points in her life that were highlights of unacceptable behavior that she accepted or unacceptable behavior that she demonstrated. Then we reviewed that, and we decided how to take these unacceptable, unhealthy behaviors, how if we could now change them into healthy behaviors. So then once we did that, she was able to see, oh, this is how it could have worked out. This is how I could have managed it. And this is where the pain was. And this is why it will no longer hurt. And once we relieved the prior hurts, she was able to now address the relationship she was in at the present. And she was able to move forward because she realized she didn't want to keep on repeating the same pain, the same unhealthy relationship. And sometimes it's constant work. Nothing happens in an hour session. Sometimes you get a person who just picks up on it, realizes it, and boom, I don't see them again. They call me 3 months later. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for that time with you, I wouldn't have been able to exercise my rights or relieve myself from this situation, and I'm so happy. Other times it's a person who needs more than that. And it's bit by bit, step by step, wherever you're at, I'll meet you. And from there, we'll do a walk, we'll walk the path, and you'll be able to release yourself from the situation if you choose to at that time. There's nobody who's going to force you to leave a person if you're not ready. There's no one here, not me, who's going to judge you because you're in a relationship that you decide there's 150 different excuses why you can't leave. I'll stand by you. I'll work with you. I'll try to give you healthy advice. And little by little, the person may choose to go towards a healthy relationship, or the person will stay in an unhealthy relationship and will try to make the best of it, because nobody can pull you. Only you can walk away.
That's where it gets tricky, because I think we all know people, all know women who have been involved with basically the same guy, you know, the same bad guy, the same kind of guy, over and over and over, and they never seem to learn. And they keep getting in the same boat over and over again. And I think it's really hard and probably really frustrating for them to realize they keep making the same mistakes. And I think that it might even be a situation where you start doubting your own judgment or thinking, I thought he was really nice. I thought I was breaking the mold. I was finally going to get involved with a good guy, and he turns out to be just as manipulative or just as unreliable as the past 5 boyfriends that I've had.
A lot of times in the case, it's the first 6 months where a person gets fooled or gets blindsided. And basically when I review that with a person, they have 6 months' time with the other person. And, you know, we'll see this constantly, and you know why. You'll see a woman with a very bad man, and you'll wonder why she stays with him. And the answer is the sex must be good because I wouldn't be there, right? And a lot of times that's it. The intimacy in the bedroom is above and beyond the expectations of the other person, and it clouds their judgment. So then at 6 months, then they put 6 months of invested time. They feel like it was a lot of time. They want to invest more time. They feel like they can change this person or they can change the situation. Or somehow, through some type of illusion or just disillusion, this is going to change. And then it doesn't. Then 2 years, 3 years, 5 years pass by. And then they feel that they're not going to get anybody else. Or they just put that time in, they might as well stay. Or things aren't that bad, but yet they're unhappy. You know, it's always about serving your best and highest good. And why should you live 5 years more being unhappy when you can find happiness within yourself? Happiness isn't found in another person. We all know that. But for some reason, our mind knows that. But the inside of us decides that we really need this other person. This person, without this person, I can't exist. I'm lonely. They don't want to be lonely. They don't want to be alone with themselves. They don't want to see the darkness within themselves. They don't want to do the work to heal themselves. And it's all about doing the work. It's all about understanding you. And sometimes understanding you seems to be a lot harder than being with the wrong person. But it's going to do the work, going through the pain, and establishing yourself and loving yourself, finding happiness within yourself, that you, then you can go on to a healthier situation. And a lot of people just don't want to do it. They just don't.
Yeah, it's almost like they're using the relationship, the bad relationship, as an excuse to not look at what's really going on in their life, that they are not looking at themselves, they're not allowing themselves to see that they're not being treated well, and they're accepting abusive or substandard treatment from another person. And rather than look, they stay in the situation and they're distracted from the very big issue of looking at themselves and how they could be making themselves happy, how they could be achieving their own goals, how they could be loving themselves and trying to heal from a past wound.
That's when I go into self-value. That's when I speak with them and I say, do you know you're wonderful? Do you know you are a gift? Do you know you are the divine? Do you know you are beautiful? And a lot of times I'll get, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not. Do you know you are perfectly imperfect? Do you know that you are loved? Do you know that there are many people here who can love you? Welcome to my circle. You do belong. There is a place for you. Don't hide. Don't hide. Don't hide under the pain. Don't accept this behavior. Let's work with this. Once they tell me they don't realize that they are wonderful, once they tell me that they don't have that, when they see in the mirror somebody who has the ability to love and be loved, you know, right then and there, I see the pain, and I try to understand, where did this concept, what can we do, how can we heal? Sometimes we can only start where they're at. Sometimes I can move back to when they were younger. Sometimes I can't deal with any of that because they don't want to deal with any of that. And I welcome them into a circle where there's other women. And just being in a happier situation, just being with women who talk about spirituality, women who talk about knitting, women who sit there and talk and go into book clubs, and you're just in a group of people who are laughing and joking. And you get to realize, like, wow, people live like that. Wow, people are happy. People do laugh. Okay, so now they've established some type of community. Or if they're only seeing me, they're only going from their house to me once a month, they're welcomed. They are welcomed. I have the House of Spade. In the House of Spade, all women are welcome wherever they're at. They know they truly belong no matter where they're at. And they are accepted. And sometimes just having that one person who won't judge you, who won't put you down, who will listen to what you have to say and try to give you advice through love, through kindness, through the heart. Sometimes that just one person turns into three persons, turns into the community, and then you're engulfed in love. And that truly helps you get away from this person who doesn't love you.
Yeah. I think some people, you know, they get into this place where they're listening to somebody who's trying to control them through criticism and constantly putting them down, and to have that one person say, no, I think you're beautiful. I think you're valuable. Look at all the things you can do, all the things that you have to offer. I think that could be a lifesaver, and quite literally, I think.
Yep. Could save and sometimes, let's suppose a person feels they have nothing to offer. So the fact is, what can we learn? How can we learn this together? I had a woman who just really felt she could do nothing right. There was nothing she could do. So basically, what she would do when she would come to my office, she would tell me about her pain, tell me about whatever this man had told her, subservient behavior levels, very unhealthy relationship, but he was not physically abusing her, but the mental and emotional abuse was beyond what any person should accept. And I would always try to explain to her what was going on, how I would see it. I would get feedback from her, and I would try to just vamp her up for that 45 minutes to an hour. But in between, I would teach her how to crochet. She felt she couldn't do anything right. Something simple. Very simple.
Yeah.
I would teach her how to crochet.
You know what? I think absolutely absorbing yourself in art or some kind of hobby could be the best thing. I mean, some people go running. Some people, they join a book club, like you said before, or a group sport or something like that. I think that's really important. And it's changing without obviously changing. It's a wonderful practice when you're not overtly up against things and constantly dealing with these unhappy topics, but rather you're just in a situation where you feel that acceptance no matter where you are. And I think that's really healing, to just feel that acceptance.
Definitely. Mindful meditation.
Yeah.
We could
mindful
sit
meditation.
We would sit down.
Yeah.
I have women who come in just to sit down to mindfully meditate. They may be in the worst situation, but when they come to my office, we sit down and we can meditate. We sit down and I can show them a new yoga move or an old yoga move. We can talk. I always go back to yoga with women. Always go back to yoga, learning the breath, moving, trying to keep the mind still. I think that's beautiful sometimes if you can't deal with what's going on at that moment. I can't rush people. I can't push them. All I can do is deal with what's going on. And then we try from there. Any little goal, any little miracle.
We've got a caller, so hang on a second.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good. Now.
And what's your name, please?
Your show's about why good girls go for bad boys. Now I can understand the reasons why, because if the girl doesn't really know the guy and the guy is somewhat interesting, a little bit different, then she will give the guy a chance. The real question to me is why do supposedly good girls stay with the bad boys who are either abusive or semi-abusive or show a lot of indifference? And I know I was listening a couple of minutes ago, and you gave a kind of a litany of the reasons why. But I think the major reason is so deeply embedded within the female psyche. I think it has to deal with self-esteem. And fear of loneliness to a degree. But if you have great self-esteem, and then you recognize, either guys or girls, that whoever's not giving you what you deserve, and I'm not talking about the princess syndrome, I'm not talking about the guy providing a lot of nonsense, but if the guy and the girl is providing his girlfriend, boyfriend with support, letting them know that they're important to them, then I think that should be enough. But girls in particular need or feel they need drama, guys as excitement. If a girl can get away from that, go ahead.
So what do we think about that, Sia? Just call her.
That was where I put the adrenaline junkie. The adrenaline junkie is the high, high highs and the low, low lows. When the man leaves, they feel that they have nothing. So when the man comes back, the high of the excitement of him coming back and causing it to function, and she can't wait, and the sex is so great, and then he leaves again and becomes a low, low, low. That's exactly what he's talking about. The self-esteem issues, definitely. That's what the whole office thing is working about when they come to my office, understanding that they can do something right, finding out where they lost at, knowing their self-value, knowing that they are worthy. I'm 100% with this man, understanding that they are worthy, finding their value, and understanding their boundaries. The truth is there, but establishing the truth is quite difficult at times.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to see from the outside, but it's really tough if you're in it. I think, you know, overcoming a psychological issue it takes a lot of courage, it takes a lot of work, and a lot of support. And, you know, people do just seem to go back and into these situations where you're thinking, no, don't do that again, but... It does, yeah. The caller also was talking about self-esteem, which you had brought up before.
Always is the problem. Know your value. Know you are worthy. Stand in your power. A lot of times they release the power, financially release the power, or afraid to get out of their home, afraid to leave what they know, afraid of moving to a smaller apartment, afraid of not having what they like to have, whether it's their pedicures, their manicures, their car payment, everything like that, material loss, the fear of material loss, then putting a value on the material loss and putting a value on their person and realizing that their person is way more important than any material good available. But they don't quite understand that. What is it? Is it okay if you go from a Mercedes to a Corolla? It's quite all right. Is it okay if you go from a 4,000-foot home to a 500-square-foot apartment? It's okay, because from there you can stand in your power and you can rise above. And could you get back to a 4,000? Yeah. Could you get a castle? Yeah. Or could you just live a better life and have a better quality of life and value yourself and love yourself? Where are your morals? What's most important to you? And can they find that? And that's where we use yoga, meditation, being able to conquer something as simple as crocheting, and being able to talk about it. And those things sometimes take much more than just one appointment, 45 minutes, ingraining in a person that they have value. You think that you can say it and that they believe it. No. Sometimes it's going over and over and over and revisiting the situation. Women empowerment, empowering them. Or sometimes it's not a woman. It can easily be a man being in an abusive relationship. Afraid to leave.
Yeah.
Afraid to be thrown out. Afraid to be without his children. It happens. Sometimes it isn't the money. It's the fact of losing the extended family. You know?
Yeah.
I have
and
to look
people,
at both sides
you know,
of the story.
Steal talent too. I mean, I knew a guy who actually was the creative force behind this woman's business, and she really was abusive to him. It was really, really bad and very sad because he basically gave a lot of his time and talent to her and was never fully compensated for that. And thank goodness he's in a good relationship now. But yeah, so. It can get rough out there in these relationships, and I'm just happy that we have this opportunity to discuss things. So we're running out of time. It's always so interesting to talk about these things. Next Sunday, we're going to be broadcasting on a Monday because Sunday is Easter, and the topic will be, how do you know if someone is lying? So be sure to tune in next Monday at 6 p.m., and you can listen anytime on the podcast show page. You'll see all the old episodes. Also, if you have a question you want answered on the air, or if you want to book a private consultation, you can go to csbay.com. You can send an email to the show page by pressing the mail icon. And be sure to follow the show so that when you will be notified of future episodes, you can tune in. And hold the date for June 22nd for our workshop on developing intuition in New York City. You can get more information about this by going to eventbrite.com and searching Develop Your Intuition. So until next time, good night, Sia.
Good night, Diva.
And I'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
Talk to you next week. Bye.